In 1776, once the Declaration of Independence was drafted and signed, it pretty much disappeared from public notice. It was rolled up and it was stored away. We know it as a Declaration of Independence, but nowhere in there is that title used. As you see, it is the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. And what it is, it's a diplomatic severance note. It's a divorce decree that was written primarily with Thomas Jefferson, who was assigned the task, also assisted by John Adams, Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin had a desire to write it himself, but wasn't allowed to because the Founding Fathers were afraid that he would include jokes in it. There were also contributions to lesser-known individuals such as Roger Sherman and Robert Livingston that deserve their due. But it was all about dissolving the connections with Great Britain, the liberation of the 13 colonies that would now be seen as 13 independent states. The vote by the Continental Congress for independence was taken on July 2nd, 1776. And the vote was unanimous. That's the title, the Unanimous Declaration. John Adams wrote to his wife, Abigail, "The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America." Maybe not. You see, the unanimous declaration was adopted on July 4th, even though voted on the 2nd. And then it was signed. It was only signed on July 4th by John Hancock, his flourishing signature right there in the center. It was said that he wrote it large because he wanted the king to be able to read his name. John Hancock was considered one of the greatest criminals in the colonies by the British Empire. John Hancock was also one of the richest men in the colonies, as well as having one of the greatest egos, as it was known. And it was also signed by Charles Thompson. Just those two, it is believed. All the other signatures that you see on there weren't added until August 2nd. But July 4th became known as Independence Day. Sorry, John Adams. But the reason that the Declaration of Independence disappeared is because there were more important documents than that being drafted at the time that were given the most attention. Because there were documents being written that addressed a new centralized government. There were the Articles of Confederation. There were many national alliances being built and connections with other countries. So a great many things were taking place. An interesting note that when George Washington was ready to assume the office of the president, and he would begin working with the new Congress, he wanted to write a letter, it's kind of an introductory letter, I look forward to working with you letter. But George Washington wasn't known as a great writer. And so he enlisted the help of his friend James Madison to write this letter. So Madison wrote the letter, it was given to Congress. Congress wanted to reply to George Washington's letter, and they asked James Madison, who was a member of Congress, to write the letter to George Washington, which he did. Washington wanted to have a reply to that letter, so he asked, yes, James Madison to write it. And a fourth letter was written back to Washington by James Madison. But some years later, the Declaration of Independence reemerged. but became known for a declaration of individual rights and natural equality. We can see from the preamble, the second paragraph that follows the introduction, where it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." It is this preamble that was given attention by a small anti-slavery movement, a group that addressed how human beings were seen as personal property. By the mid-1800s, one-fifth of the population of America were slaves. And so the Declaration of Independence came to light once again. And this preamble grew to be seen as the foundation of America's civil religion. Abraham Lincoln viewed the words of the preamble as his political philosophy, through which he believed the United States Constitution should be interpreted. Again, these words were used to lead an effort for working men's rights. They were used to address women's rights, and then also later, civil rights. Our nation has been pressed time after time to live up to those words. Words that were written not to give the right to do as we please, but the opportunity to do what is right. In 1948, following World War II, the United Nations adopted what they called their Declaration of Human Rights. These addressed several issues, including the dignity and integrity of each person, freedom of expression, for responsible decision-making, that each person could develop freely and fully to his or her unique potential, that each individual be able to participate in institutions of their choice and have relationships within their society, and a protection against arbitrary and tyrannical, ruthless uses of power. They lifted up once again the inalienable right to life. When we speak of life, it is more than just mere existence. It is far more than breathing and the beating of one's heart. When we speak of life, we talk about having a vitality, a strength, a vigor, a power over one's own life. Within the Christian community, we see there are basic human needs to give this life. The need for food and shelter and clothing, for recognition as a unique person, to love and have the opportunity to express love, to exchange goods and services honestly, to be reciprocated equally, and to live within an orderly system. When Jesus is teaching and instructing his disciples, his idea of discipleship is to advance this view of life. And that an association with Jesus is reflected in our actions. Our relationship with Jesus would lead us to have great concern for whom he calls the little ones. we are to foster inclusion that is unconditional. Respect and diversity. These ideals have been too often denied, particularly to marginalized groups, people who live in the fringes and live in the shadows. And this can take many different forms. I just did a little bit of research in looking at some of the human life issues that are evident here in Arizona. Arizona has the fifth highest percentage of children in the nation who are what they call food insecure. 28% may not know where their next meal is coming from today. On any given night in Arizona, there are 10,000 unsheltered people. Families are females with young children. 2,500 are veterans. Most are temporary, but there are 1,500 chronically homeless as a result often of illness, mental disease, the need to self-medicate that often leads to substance abuse. One thing I've heard more and more about lately, but knew very little, was the issue of opioid abuse. In 2016, there were 790 reported deaths related to opioid abuse in Arizona. It was said in the second week of June in this year there were 15 deaths, 191 overdose cases, and 18 babies were diagnosed with drug-related withdrawal symptoms. Raising the need to recognize the danger of overprescribing such self-medications. There are now, it is said, 2 million people that were brought into the country as undocumented children. 57,000 of them live in Arizona. They are now living with their future filled with uncertainty, these dreamers that they are now called, who have fallen under the deferred action of childhood arrivals. They now face many questions regarding the opportunities for higher education and for employment. Right now, they live in a limbo in which the federal government says that they are lawfully present, but within our own state, it is said they have no legal status. And so we're left with questions of what is legal and what is moral. And also in Arizona, in the last 40 years, 70,000 refugees were resettled, which reflected nations of global unrest. Over those years, it was people from Vietnam, Bosnia, Iraq, Syria, and many other countries who have fled from torn and conflicted governments. This week, we gather together and we celebrate a nation with a great history, but also one that has made a declaration to life for all people. They have taken on this tremendous responsibility, this ideal of life. And we too then, as disciples, have a calling to protect, to care for, and to serve these little ones.